Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. This weekend, with the Handlebar, the one scene unites From Within Records, Spring 2024 Showcase, Magnitude, Malice at the Palace, Seat of Pain, Envision, Worn, Collateral, Dimension 6, Statement of Pride, Burning Strong, and Milestone. The demo is out now on From Within Records. Tapes are sold out. So if you didn't grab one, maybe you can get one on the resale market. But please support the brand new band from Pensacola for fans of Turning Point, Trial, and Eco Strike. Awesome. I love new music. I love new bands. So please go support Milestone. They're awesome. If you're not following From Within Records on social media, please go boot up X, go boot up Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. Before we get into today's guests, there's a lot going on in the world of K-pop. This is for all my K-pop stans out there. New Jeans is about to get shelved, which would be insane because you think a group like New Jeans, who has an incredible impact, like culturally, it's insane to see that they might get taken out by their own people, right? And it's really sad because for as long as I've been in K-pop, which is crazy to think that it's been 4 years at this point, but there's not many groups that come around that have the kind of impact that New Jeans has, right? You put them in the same league as BTS, Blackpink, Twice. It's these groups, maybe your diehard K-pop stan, obviously will know, but the casuals might be oblivious to a group like Stacy or Weekly because they're not tapped in. But a group like New Jeans, they're just undeniable, right? They're just so recognizable. They're so popular that they kind of burst out of the K-pop bubble, right? For anyone who has seen their set from Lollapalooza last year, they played in the middle of the day, but they had a crowd like they were the headliner. It's insane. So to be following the drama between the CEO of HYBE and the CEO of Adore, it's really interesting. And I don't think it's good. Obviously, it's their own issues, but for New Jeans to be suffering, I think this is going to be bad for everybody. I feel like they should be able to figure it out. I know there's a lot of weird, shady stuff going on for anyone who's following that story. But in my opinion, I hope they can figure it out. I hope New Jeans doesn't get shelled because New Jeans is awesome. I love their music. I think they've had just a great career so far, and I just don't want to see them get taken out, especially by their own people. And I know I've been posting a lot of the new group Islet, and they get a lot of flack too because they're getting dubbed like a copycat group. And I know there's a lot of drama saying that they, swagger jacked New Jeans. But it's kind of sick because they're all part of the same company, and I feel for the idols too because they're not the ones making these decisions. So here are these new girls in Islet, right? They probably worked so hard to debut, and they come out, they have great success, but at what cost, right? They're getting pitted against their I don't want to say label mates because right, they're on different labels but under the same umbrella, but they're getting pitted against another group that's under the same umbrella on them, as them, which I don't think is really fair. And it's crazy too, because they're having crazy success right now, right? They came out with Magnetic and it was a bop right away. Lucky Girl Syndrome and just the kind of response that they're having at these concerts now, right? They hit the ground running. They're doing award shows. They just hit KCON Japan, which, please, if the KCON gods are listening, please bring Islet to KCON USA, which is coming up really fast. It's happening like middle to late July, and we really have had no word besides the dates of the con, and they mentioned that they're going back to three nights, which is nice. I am ready for three crazy nights of K-pop, but that news is insane. But on to more positive stuff. Triple S, I can never shut up about Triple S. They just came out with their Assemble 24 album, which is something that's been in the works for 2 years. So finally, we have all 24 members. The intro is amazing. The single's amazing. Everything that they've done with this comeback so far is just amazing, and it's awesome. Triple S, never short on content. So if you're curious, or if you're bored with your current old groups and you're waiting for a comeback, come over to Triple S. We got you covered. Content for days. It's never quiet in the Triple S camp, and that's what I love. But BBG, G-Idol just announced some concerts, and it's getting crazy. K-pop's getting crazier and crazier every year, and I'm blessed to be a fan. So if you got this far in the rant, please go stand a group or hit me up. I can connect you to the K-pop Caviar playlist. I can just point you in the right direction. But anyways, on today's episode, we had to track down our good friend Shane Alexander, plays guitar and sings for a band called Terminator. And I was put onto Terminator because of Rebirth Records, which I'm a fan of. I'm no stranger to that label. I'm a fan of Bob Wilson. I'm happy to rep the merch. I have a crew neck, a shirt back there. I'm really happy to be able to support that label. I think what Bob is doing is awesome. And I feel like he just kind of does things quietly. But these releases speak for themselves. So I said it in the episode, but I mean it. Whenever I see Rebirth Records put out a new band, I kind of give it priority and go check it out, because I'm a fan of a lot of what they've put out. And I feel like Bob has just this really good ear for music. So when he's willing to put the label's name out there and back a band, I feel like it speaks volumes. So I'm happy that I love Terminator. If you're not familiar with Terminator, they were on the K-pop Caviar, not K-pop, they were on the Hardcore Caviar playlist last month. I was happy to feature them. But if you're here and you're not tapped in, I highly suggest you hit pause, go boot up Bandcamp, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, wherever you're listening to music, and go stream the Terminator demo. It's awesome. Just in your face, just fast. It's just so sick. And I'm such a fan of that band. And I'm happy that they're gearing up to get busy with shows. Looking forward to the day that they come out west, or maybe our paths will cross when I travel out east, which I seem to do pretty frequently. Whichever one comes first, I'm just looking forward to being able to see that band live, because I'm a fan of Shane. Happy what he's done with Terminator, and looking forward to hearing new music, which I'm hearing rumblings about new music coming very soon. So do yourself a favor, go bond with the demo, get tapped in. And if you're in Philly coming up soon, or if you're in Buffalo, for all the Americans, Terminator show's coming up very soon in those areas, and maybe you can go check them out. But I was very pleased with this podcast. I was happy to be able to have had Shane on the episode, and Shane knows that he's welcome back anytime. So please do yourself a favor, go listen to all things Terminator, and then come back here and listen to Shane and I chop it up about some great stuff. This was really a fun conversation. So please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Shane Alexander to the show. So I appreciate you taking the time to do this today. So thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. This is cool.
Yeah. And for anyone out there who's listening, who may not be familiar with who you are, can you give a brief introduction on who you are and what you do in the band Terminator?
My name is Shane Alexander. I play guitar and sing in the group Terminator.
That's awesome. I'm a huge fan of the band. You know, I found out about you're welcome. I found out about the band because of Rebirth Records. Shout out to Bob Wilson. I'm a huge fan of what he does with the label. So anytime he puts out a new band, I always take my time to make sure to check out what he releases, because I'm a huge fan of the label, and I feel like he has a really good ear for music. So whenever there's a new release, I'm like, all right, I definitely got to check this out, because it could be something that I really like.
I know no one who is more of a hardcore person than Bob. So typically anything that he's going to put his hands on is going to be good. So, yeah. When I had these songs put together, I just hit him up, said, hey, got some songs. What do you think of them? He said, these are sick. Let's put out a tape. I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Okay. And I want to build up to Terminator. I'm just curious about you in your journey through hardcore. Can you talk about how you even found out about it?
How I found out about hardcore would have been on like a Punk-O-Rama comp. I think that's when I definitively heard something that wasn't just punk or metal. It was like this weird in between. That would have been on Punk-O-Rama, I think 4 or 5. Madball, Hold It Down was on there. And it's like at that point in my life, I was really into the Epitaph punk, NoFX, Blink. I had heard bands like, Minor Threat and Black Flag, but I thought they were more like a punk band. You know what I mean? And then at the same time, I was also into like death metal stuff. I like funny new metal stuff that was on the radio at the time. And then like I heard Madball, and it was kind of like this middle ground between the two things, and it's like, oh shit, this has like a different feel to it. And not long after that, it's like I went out and bought the Hold It Down record, and from there, it's been hardcore has been all I like.
And I'm just curious about finding hardcore music locally. You just mentioned you're able to buy the Hold It Down record. Was there like a local record store that was having hardcore albums, or did you have to go online?
It was because that was through Epitaph. So that would have been widely released. So I bought that at Sam the Record Man in the Fairview Mall, which no longer exists. There's only one record store really in town anymore. We have Mind Bomb Records. I've never been much of a record collector though. But yeah, it's like at the time though, it's like you couldn't just go online and download something. So I went out and bought the Hold It Down CD.
Yeah, that's wild. I've never been, much of a record collector either. There's like a few records through my time where I'm like, all right, like I want to have that on vinyl, even though I've never owned a record player. It's just a nice piece to have to the like collection, just something that means a lot to me. So I have a couple pieces of vinyl, but yeah, I'm not an avid collector where I'm out like picking up every record that drops.
I know some people have like, and I feel like I just. At a point where I maybe would have been interested into it, I feel like it was like too late, and there's already too many things that like I would want to own. And I know people have like some massive record collections. When they got to move, it's like, oh fuck, you got to like take all these fucking crates and shit. There's a lot of weight to collecting records as well. I got more into like shirts, when I started going to shows. I was like, I'll buy the shirt of the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I had the foresight when I was younger to buy in bigger sizes, because, you know, when I got into hardcore, I was just a young teenager, and I just didn't imagine that I was going to, you know, obviously, like, outgrow those sizes. So now that I'm, like, way older and still into hardcore, and I think about, like, how, like, many of my t-shirts I just gave away because they didn't fit anymore, it's like, dude, I should have been smarter and bought some of those cooler, older shirts in bigger sizes so they could have lasted a lot longer.
I agree. I wear a size medium, so it's like when I find stuff that's a little bit older that maybe like pops up, it's like more likely to fit me, because everyone at like the early 2000s, like smalls and mediums were the thing. Even if you were like a big person, everyone was wearing like the really tight shirts and then almost like flared jeans. It was a sick look. But yeah, there I've had like so many shirts that just come through my hands and let them go to like friends, or just, you know, chuck them out to like, you know, a thrift store. Now I'm just like, fuck. I wish I still had that, you know, drug test shirt.
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
And do you have like shirts in your collection today that mean a lot to you that you'll never let go?
Not many. No, I've sold off most hardcore shirts, or gave them away, or, you know, traded. I've pretty dwindled down. I just like really old, like thin vintage t-shirts. They're all more comfortable. Everything that's printed on hardcore shirts are always printed on like Hanes or like, you know, All Style, and like they all need like really like heavy t-shirts, and I like just like really thin stuff.
Okay. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I prefer like the thicker you know, blanks, but I totally understand what you're talking about.
Some people love that, and I see the reason for liking a thick shirt too. You know, they're warm, you know, they feel sturdy, but I like a lot of breathability.
Okay. And I used to treasure like these shirts, because I was imagining, okay, in 30 years I'm finally gonna put on this like Fury tee that's been in a bin at my parents' house, and it's gonna be super awesome. But you know, I ended up just kind of getting over it. Like I met some younger kid who is like really passionate about hardcore, and I thought that was really awesome, so I ended up giving him just like a lot of these like older Fury shirts that I had, and he was super stoked on it. And I feel like that meant a lot more to me than being able to put it on, you know, some odd years down the road where nobody's even going to care. I'd rather give it to some young kid who's like actually stoked on it.
I always got to wonder, like, which shirts from kind of our era are going to end up being the grails. Like, it's like, you know, the Cold World Ice Grills crew neck, I'm sure, is going to be like, I think, you know, there's maybe like 50 of those made or something. Like, I feel like something like that is going to be like on like the Down But Not Out Cro-Mags tour type shirt level at a point.
I feel like it has to be like a combination of like, you know, like bands like legacy, you know, because there's bands that, you know, might not have been that popular in like, you know, the time that they were active, but you know post their career, you know, new kids find out about them and just kind of, you know, idolize them and make them out to be something bigger than they actually were. So it could be a number of factors, or who knows.
I'm always curious, you know, where things are headed.
Yeah, same here. Because I have a bunch of t-shirts, but it's just like, yeah, like, I feel like as the years go by, I get like less attached to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. As you grow up, you become sentimental for, I don't know, maybe different things. You find more value in other things. You maybe don't want to be burdened by like, I got fucking 900 shirts type of stuff. So I used to be like that. I used to have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of shirts.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. 900, that's a lot. And now 900 all in rotation, or some just like store for other purposes?
I'm just saying, you know, 900 is just a number. Okay. I think at a point though, I probably had at least 300 shirts, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Had them in like on a pipe going across my basement. This entire rack of shirts was kind of nuts. Then I moved to a smaller apartment. I sold a lot of them and gave a lot of them away.
Sometimes you got to downsize. Yeah. I always tell myself, like I don't need any more tops. Like I don't need any more hoodies. I don't need any more shirts, but then like, I'll go out to a gig or I'll see like a design online and I'm just like, I have to have that. That's so sick. And then I get it. And I'm just like, oh, like I don't have that much room for that. And like, I have like, you know, probably backed up on like 3 hoodies that I've bought that I haven't even worn yet, just because I'm like, you know, still into like the hoodies that I bought before that. So it's just like, I don't know why I keep buying these damn hoodies. They're just taking up space.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Too many hoodies though. You're going to stay warm for a long time.
Yeah, that's a struggle. But living out here in California, we don't get that much time for it being cold. I feel like for the majority of the year, like the weather's just nice. It's I don't feel like it's like, you know, cold long enough. I enjoy the cold. I wish it was colder. I'm not a fan of summer these days.
I'm not a fan of winter. If you ever want to do a, you know, swap. By all means, I would love to come up to California. It's nice there.
Yeah, but I feel like your winter is definitely different than ours, because you deal with like actual like snow and stuff out there, right?
My city specifically doesn't get it too bad. Okay. Like we have what's called, like, you know, the Canadian Shield. It starts off with this like escarpment that kind of goes around my entire city. So the way that the, you know, cold fronts all come through, they'll typically go from Lake Erie and just pass over top of my city. So we don't get walloped nearly as bad as some of the outlying areas. But yeah, you know, we get snow up here, you know, pretty frequently.
Yeah, for us, it's like snow is like an option. Like if we want to deal with snow, we can just drive like 30 minutes up into the mountains. But it's like, it's rare that it ever like touches the ground out here.
The only time that I've ever seen snow touch ground in like a southern state, a state of emergency was declared and they shut the whole place down. I think it might have been in like South Carolina at the time.
Okay.
And it's like, and it started snowing and we were like in this mall and like, they're like, yeah, we're closing the mall. Everyone get the fuck home. You're going to die in this snow. And we go outside and there's just like this sprinkling of snow. But I mean, I guess these cities in, you know, more southern cities are, they don't have infrastructure in place for snow removal. Or, you know, they wouldn't have machines that are gonna de-ice the roads, all that type of stuff. So, thanks.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. It's really strange out here too, because like even when it starts to sprinkle, like everybody forgets how to drive, and it's just like, dude, it's not that dangerous. Like it's not even that crazy. Like there's just like, you know, it's a water falling out of the sky. It's not that deep, and it's crazy how people will react to that. And it's not even like just like a small percent of the population. It seems like the majority of people out here just lose all senses when like the weather changes very slightly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not used to something and it hits you out of nowhere, you know, you'll be surprised by the reaction. It's like, you know, we have 4 definitive seasons here.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I wonder what it would be like if I would have grown up in an environment like that. Because like I said, living out here in California, I've lived out here my whole life, and we don't get anything, you know, too different from it just kind of staying the same throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
So, okay. And we're talking about your early days in hardcore. I'm curious about, when did you learn to, you know, play an instrument? Was guitar the first thing that you learned?
No, not at all. I'm only pretty recently actually learning the guitar. I kind of just got serious about learning it to play in this band. I've been a drummer my whole life. So it's like I've only drummed in bands. You know, I think first band I was about 14 years old. And yeah, I've just been drumming in bands for 22, 23 years. And last year I decided I left the band that I was drumming in. You've had Brandon on the podcast from Wildside. I used to drum with Wildside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was stepping out of that band. I started working on some stuff with the people who I'm doing Terminator with. And I had just some song ideas. It's like, I own guitar stuff, because like I've always been a buyer and seller of musical instruments.
Okay.
So I've always had guitar stuff around, but I've never actually taken the time, like, I'm going to sit down and fucking learn this thing. Until kind of recently, I was like, all right, I've got ideas for songs. I'm just going to sit with the guitar and fucking figure them out. That's kind of what I did.
And were you just self-taught, or did you have anybody that you could rely on to, you know, to help you along the way to learn that process?
I'll pretty much self-taught, and, you know, just I'll watch stuff on YouTube occasionally. I'm not an advanced guitar player by any means, you know, I'm progressing every day because it's such a new thing to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like exciting after all these years to do something different. It's like, you know, it feels very different to play a guitar. You know, my father was musical. He played guitar. He was a really good guitarist. But he never taught me anything on it. It's just been me kind of sitting around playing power chords, getting better at playing power chords, being able to put more power chords together, figure out little fingers notations up and down the neck. Yeah, just a lot of fucking around.
And was there a moment where you're like, oh shit, like this is actually working, like all this hard work that I'm putting into learning the guitar is actually paying off and I can actually get somewhere with this?
Yeah, it's actually a very frequent feeling I get while I'm playing it, because like I said, it's all so new, and like every time that I figure out just like, oh, I can make the guitar do this, like my brain's like, hell yeah. Whereas like I feel like I don't want to say plateaued with drumming. In fact, I think learning guitar now is improving my drumming in a lot of ways, because it's helped me a lot with my independence and kind of how I'm thinking about playing. But it's like, it's because it's a new scale, like all the time I'm just like, oh shit, like I feel I am getting better at this. You know, I think noticeably I'm getting better at it from, if you were to watch me play a couple months ago versus now, I'm a heck of a lot better.
And did you, pick up the guitar with the intent of starting a band, or were you just maybe looking to join something that had already, you know, had some ground?
No, it was completely so I could write songs. I've had ideas for songs for a long time, and it's like, I've always kind of failed to maybe communicate them to people as a drummer. It's hard, you know, to say like, hey, especially trying to tell a guitarist as a non-guitarist what they should do. They're not often receptive to it. So when I'm like, hey, maybe play the riff a little more, like, bam, 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 da, da, and they're like, you know, whereas now it's like, I can just pick up the guitar and just fucking do it myself. And it's a lot easier. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I definitely commend you on that, because I've always been fascinated by people that can play any instrument. Like whenever I go to shows live and I just watch people play, I'm like, wow, that's so insane, because I've always just been such a fan of music, but I've never been able to actually play an instrument, so it's always cool to be able to witness it live, and just I'm just always like perplexed. I'm like, wow, that's so crazy, but it sounds so awesome.
Yeah, it's like now I've been watching drummers play forever. It's like anytime I used to watch bands, it's like I'd be just like locked in on the drummer, but now I'm appreciating watching, you know, guitarists and like, you know, seeing what they're doing as certain sounds are coming out of their amp, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And figure like, oh yeah, so you know, this is maybe what I got to do on the next type of thing. That's like also just making going to shows a little more interesting in certain ways now as well. You know, a reinvigoration on certain things after, you know, a few decades of looking at it one way.
And you mentioned that you've been collecting equipment over time. How did you figure out the sound that you wanted to play? Was it with the stuff that you just had lying around, or did you go out and seek out specific equipment to craft the sound?
I bought an amp when I decided I'm gonna learn guitar and I'm gonna take it seriously. It's like I knew I wanted a Marshall amp. I wanted a Marshall 2204, one of the late 70s ones. They just got, certain bite to them. So yeah, I sold the drum kit I had on the Marshall amp. I had a guitar sitting around. Like I've had a cool Guild guitar that I bought probably in like 2013 that I just never sold. And I kind of kept with intent of like, I'll learn how to play this someday. So yeah, that was like the one piece of guitar gear I didn't sell. It's like, up until about 2015, I had like a lot of really absurd stuff that's like worth a fuck ton of money now that I wish I would have maybe held on to. It's like I had a bunch of like those Sun Model T amps. Like I had three of those at one point.
Okay.
Three in my own possession. Like I sold one of them to Greg Anderson of Sun. It's like I've had like really cool old Marshall amps, old Gibsons And it's like, I was just buying and trading stuff because I just thought it was like fun and interesting. And like, you know, it was a way to just make money on the side as a hobby. And like, you know, musical equipment's cool. So it's like, I owned all these cool things that like a lot of it I wish I would have maybe held on to. But it's like, I never actually learned how to play the guitar. And after a while, I start feeling like kind of like a silly person, just like, oh, I'm buying all these guitars. I'm not actually playing them. So I just kind of gave up that hobby. Not to mention like used gear prices are now gone off the rails since post COVID. So even just trying to find stuff where like, oh, like this is a cool deal on like a cool amp, you don't find that stuff so easily any longer.
And I'm just curious too, where were you, you know, buying and selling? Were you just like on like the local, like Craigslist? I don't know if you guys have Craigslist out there.
Oh yeah. We had Craigslist is pretty dead out here. It was pretty big in like the Toronto area. And I mean like dead, like now and that, like no one uses it any longer. I think that's becoming the case in a lot of places. Like, yeah. You know, I used to go on the Buffalo Craigslist. We're really close to Buffalo here.
Okay.
So I go on the Buffalo Craigslist all the time. That one was always really active. And it's like, yeah. Then we had a thing called Kijiji here, which I think was, it was owned by eBay. And it was like a classified through them. I think it was big in South Africa as well. Or they might have had a version of it called Gumtree. But yeah, it's like all the local classifieds. Find folks who are just like, yeah, I've had this thing sitting in my basement since the 70s. You know, $500, take it away. And it's like, oh, that's a 1968 Marshall JMP. Wow. Okay, cool. So, yeah. But now that everyone is far more on the internet, everyone also kind of just knows what stuff is worth now. Mm-hmm. Reservoir, I think a lot of people weren't still connected, you know, in the early, you know, you know, 2012, 2011, you know, grandpa maybe didn't have internet yet. You know, he was still resistant to that. So when he sold something, he sold it cheap.
Yeah. It was just like low key. That's crazy. And so are you still doing that these days? Still collecting just like random pieces of equipment?
No, not so much. I got a drum set I like. I got a guitar. I have two guitars I like. I got a bass I like. I got an amp I like. Pretty set with it, unless it breaks down. Hopefully none of it does. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm also curious about your journey through this. When you decided that you're like, all right, I'm going to take this serious, learn to play the guitar so I can write these songs. Did you keep that private with yourself, or did you, you know, tell friends? Cause I always feel like it's kind of, you know, when you're starting something new, if you tell people, they might not take you serious, or they could think it's a joke. But I'm just curious from, you know, your start, like, you know, like where were you at with that?
I mean, like, I was immediately like, once I was like, I've known how to play a power chord since like, you know, 2013. So it's like, I've always known how to just kind of loosely put stuff together. So it's like immediately once I picked up the guitar, I'm sending the people who I was trying to start this band with like terrible voice notes of like me just fucking around. Just like, yeah, what do you think of this riff? What do you think of this riff? So I've been like pretty open with them, but you know, I haven't been going like Facebook Live, you know. They're showing like, here's me playing guitar in my, you know, kitchen type of thing. Not one of those folks.
Okay. And was, did you always want to play guitar and sing in the band? Cause I, you know, heard that's difficult to do both at the same time, especially for someone who's newer at the guitar.
It's so fucking difficult. And I did not want to do it at all. It was not my intent to sing in the band. Someone else was going to sing originally, and I have a recording with them on it, and I wish that they'd end up singing in the band. But stuff didn't align, and I just wanted to get things moving. So, because it's like the songs were kind of almost set and done in August of last year.
Okay.
It's like I picked up the guitar in about May, you know, wrote some songs, got some riffs together. I was like, yeah, I think it's all pretty good. That I tracked them with a friend, and then I was kind of sitting around waiting on someone to record vocals on it. It didn't end up panning out. And so after a while, it's like, I just want to get these songs done. I don't really want to look for someone else to sing. So I'll just try to do both. And let me tell you, it's been hard. first few jams, like I could barely get through songs. I mean, we've only played one show. It went about as well as I could have expected. It was my first time ever trying to do it. I think our next show is going to go a lot better because I've been practicing a lot more with the playing and singing. But yeah, it's been crazy.
Okay, so it is true. It is actually hard to do both.
Yeah, because you're trying to like use two different cognitive skills at the same time, and like because I'm not at a point yet. I mean, I'm getting there now where it's like I know my songs. I don't really have to look at the guitar, mm-hmm. but it's like. Initially, it's like I'm like trying to stare at the guitar and like say the words. So you're trying to remember words and also remember the riff at the same time. It's like, oh, this is a fucking nightmare. I was getting really scared leading up to our first show. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do this, but it ended up going okay.
For sure. Well, yeah, I guess that's like a great way to figure it out, right? Just kind of hit the stage and you're either gonna sink or you're gonna swim.
100%. It really got to that point. I was just like, either this is going to be fine or it's going to suck. But it's like, I've seen a lot of bands suck. So whatever. Maybe it was my turn to suck. So if it did suck or if someone thought it sucked, oh well, let's try.
Yeah. I feel like for a newer band, if I went to go see them, because it's happened to me before. I've heard, just like through like the local talk, kids hyping up a band, and I went and saw them, but the venue, like acoustics were so weird that every band sounded like shit. So I was like, all right, I was like, I'm not going to hold that against them. I'm going to, keep an eye on them, go see them again. And sure enough, saw them again. And it's just gotten better every time since. And it was because of that venue and not because of the band was actually trash.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things can kind of botch a performance, perceivably botch it. It depends on your perspective and what you're looking for. Other things, a lot of people, will watch the band and play, and in my ears, it's just like, this sounds like shit in this place, but everyone else seems to be enjoying themselves, so I don't know.
And I am curious. Okay, so. You start playing guitar and you had these people in mind. Was everything else set? Were like the band name already picked out before you recorded the music, or how did that all come together?
No, the band name just happened because I was watching the Arnold doc while I was fucking playing guitar. And I was like demoing something out in this like Terminator, like it almost sounded like there's like a Terminator sample behind what like I was like voice note recording.
Okay.
And then like I listened out back, I was just like, is anyone like notable called Terminator? And I was like, and I went on Spotify, like no one really came up. It's like, okay. I've now found out that there's actually at least two of them bands called Terminator kicking around. But whatever. We'll see which one which one is Terminator at the end of the day.
Hey, yeah, it is funny that you mentioned that, because there was a demo that I came across from some band from like somewhere in California from 2023, but I've never even heard of them, from anybody except for finding them on Spotify.
That's the first one I think I saw, because someone in that on that Crate app, I think someone had left a review like, I want to give this band a one, but I think it's good. So he gave us a three, and then just said like, yeah, like they have the same name as my band. It's like, ah, oh, sick.
That's then, awesome.
Like, I looked into it a little bit more on Bandcamp. I was like, oh, there is a band from California called Terminator. And yeah, they're actually pretty good too. So, hell yeah, we're both out there.
Wow. All right. We'll figure it out. But that's an awesome story. So were you watching the Arnold doc because you're a fan of Arnold, or was it just something that was on TV?
I mean, like Arnold's cool. I'm not specifically a fan of him. I love a lot of like Arnold movies, I want to watch The Running Man or True Lies or something like that. But yeah, I was just watching the Arnold doc. It just happened to be on.
Okay. Yeah, he's sick. I like Terminator. I also like.
He was in charge there where you are.
So yeah, he was the governor.
So you have a different perspective on Arnold. He was involved in politics.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a good time or a bad time? Or were you kind of too young to really like be clicked in on that type of
thing? Yeah, no. Back then, I was like way too young to have like the politics like affect me. I was still like a kid, not really paying any bills or having any real responsibilities.
Yeah. So at that point, you're just like, oh yeah, the Terminator's our governor. Cool.
Yeah. I was like, how does that happen? That's crazy. But I think that's like, I like the name because obviously, yeah, like when anybody hears Terminator, obviously I feel like 99% of the time they think of the movie Terminator.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid like using any Terminator imagery or whatever. I just thought the name was just like, oh, that name's fucking sick. And it's just like, oh, band names are fucking hard these days.
Yeah, so. I feel like at some point you'd have to use the imagery. I feel like people would want that.
No way. I'm not going to touch that.
Okay, that's fair.
When the Rebirth thing first got announced, a promotional flyer was made, and there was like Terminator imagery. I was like, no, no.
That's when you're like, nope, we don't want that. Okay, respect. And I'm curious, who came up with that logo? You know, that's on the album cover.
My friend Matthew Caldwell drew that. Matt plays on Wild Side, plays bass. Also plays in a band called BFB, which rocks.
Okay.
If you haven't heard BFB, they rock.
All right, I'll look them up. BFD.
If you like breakdown, you like, you know, early New York shit. It's kind of on that end.
So. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm interested. Yeah. I'll definitely check it out. But yeah,
if definitely. You go our related artists on Spotify, I think they should be there.
Okay. And so. Yeah. You know, I'm looking at the album cover, and I'm looking at you, and you're holding that Hydro Flask, and the shirt color you're wearing. I'm like, oh, is that on purpose? Is he thinking that far ahead with the color scheme?
A little bit. I mean, you know, I like colors like that. I like, you know, bright neons, something that's a little more lively. You know, silly fun colors.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
there's a lot of just like dark and blood and. Stuff in hardcore, you know. I'm something a little lighter.
Yeah, because it sticks out.
I like a nice blue sky, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the beautiful stuff in life a lot more now. It's like when I was younger, I would have been like, "Yeah, let's make it all fucking black and evil." Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, now I just like really appreciate nice, light, gentle stuff.
Yeah, no, hey, it's cool. I like it. I enjoyed it. To me, it's different and it sticks out, so I think it's cool.
Oh yeah. It's like the color scheme is definitely intentional. You know, I chose blue and pink, you know. I like the trans colors. You know, I have a trans partner. So I also feel like, you know, suddenly, you know, giving more representation to stuff like that in music, you know, queer stuff in general. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's not a lot of that very visible in hardcore. And you know, I am a queer person. So yeah, you know, I want to put a little nod in the certain things. You know, I'm sure I'm gonna have songs, etc., lyrics that'll lean about certain things, but we'll get there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think it's cool because like when I think of representation like that, I think of, you know, like a band like Senses Fail, who's pretty big, you know, who's been, you know, open about stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm down for it.
I don't know if I've heard a song by that group since they had that one really big song in the early 2000s, that Steven song.
Mm-hmm.
That's on rock. I don't know if I've really heard them since. I think someone I knew from Buffalo was maybe playing bass in that band for a while. But, yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier briefly, you know, you played one show, and you know, there hasn't been anything since then, but it seems like, you know, coming up, the band's like, seems like you guys are getting pretty busy. You guys have, you know, things booked, you know, you have a show booked like all the way like in September. So I'm just curious about, you know, your schedule. Is that something that you guys are going to want to do in the future? Just like, you know, get more busy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we only just put the demo out kind of recently. And
mm-hmm.
We're not from like a big like hardcore populace, and you know, where, you know, I feel like there's a lot of kind of, there's like bands really popping out of here yet. You know, there is bands coming from Toronto. There's, you know, a lot of bands start to form in Niagara, but stuff's a little smaller where we are, I think. But yeah, now the shows are starting to come. Like I would love if we lived closer to somewhere like New Jersey or Philadelphia. You know, there's that's like a hub for fucking shows. The shows happen there all the time, like crazy shows. Not a lot of bands really come up through here, or like at least not as many. Mm-hmm. You know, because you immediately you need that passport to come across. So you know, you have a passport.
I do. It's actually right here. Hold on, let me show you. I'm very, very proud of my passport.
Hell yeah! So if you ever wanted to play in Canada, you can come on up.
You know, I've always wanted to go to Canada since I was a young kid, being a fan of like Comeback Kid. I was like, man, I got to get to Canada to see what's going on up there, but I've never been.
Well, they're in Winnipeg. Winnipeg's kind of bleak. I mean, like that's where they were from. I know they're based out of Toronto now.
Okay.
Toronto's a nice city. It's a big, you know, I want to say it's like New York. It's not like New York at all. No matter how many times they try to film in Toronto and pass it off as New York or somewhere like that. But it's, you know, it's a big city. There's a lot of good food. There's, you know, cool bands, cool people. Man, it's busy getting in and out. It's like, it's got some of the worst traffic in the world. Like, oh, I think wow. It might be worse than LA. Which is nuts.
Yeah.
Because there's only two highways for the whole fucking city.
Really? That's insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. So, yeah, you can either go to the top of Toronto or the bottom of Toronto. There's nothing, like, in the middle. So, it gets fucking horrible getting in and out.
Yeah. Whenever I hear Toronto, I think of that rapper Drake.
Drake is from Toronto.
Yeah.
I don't listen to Drake, to be honest.
Okay.
And I know there's something going on with Drake right now, Kendrick Lamar, but it's like I feel so far removed from that type of stuff when people are talking about it. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting battle that's going on. People think it's over, but it's not over.
What is over though? I don't even know the process. I heard something about like Drake maybe being inappropriate with young people or something to do with maybe having more children that are secrets or something.
Yeah,
I've heard allegations of the sorts, but
yeah, Kendrick's trying to paint him as a really bad parent and a pedophile. And then Drake is having to defend his case, that he's not, and you know, and there's no evidence that he is. And he, you know, with the fake daughter stuff, Drake actually planted fake evidence for Kendrick to you know, find it and then rap about it. And then Drake revealed it to be all fake, that it was all plotted by him to get that information to Kendrick Lamar to try to make him look stupid.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting because, like, I have friends that are like Team Kendrick, and then you know, I have friends that are like, you know, Team Drake, and neither like side like will want to like look at this like objectively. It's just like, you know, Kendrick's already won. Like, his songs are all better. And I think that that's really interesting because, you know, I like Drake more than I like Kendrick. So like a lot of my friends are like, you know, messaging me laughing, telling me that I'm a loser and that Drake lost and stuff. And it's pretty funny because like, yeah.
I mean, Drake is factually like one of the biggest artists in the fucking world. So I don't think he's lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
like that's a person who's literally made like unfathomable money and fame and wealth off of like doing something that I'm sure they love doing. So like,
yeah, I feel like the only artist that's like bigger than Drake is like Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, by like metrics, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple artists that are just like unfathomably big. Everyone seems to know who they are, and it's like, all right.
But so, getting back to the Terminator shows, I do like that. You have a mix. You guys are coming to the States to play some shows, and you guys are playing some stuff, you know, obviously where you're from. So I think that's really awesome that you guys, you know, especially so early on, are willing to make that travel and, you know, try to, yeah. You know, I think that's like a really important way to get new fans. Cause obviously it's nice to post on social media, but people might not click the link. People might just overlook it. But when they see you in person, I feel like that's like a really easy way to sway people and to get them to, you know, check out your band.
Yeah. I'm really excited to get out and play. You know, that's ultimately what hardcore music is for. You know, it's not meant to be just enjoyed in your room. You know, you're supposed to hear this shit and go and dance around or do whatever the fuck you want to do. for that stuff. So it's like, yeah, it's like I want to get this music into a live setting as often as I can. So yeah, hopefully more gigs will funnel out. We've got two coming up locally, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. And we have one in Buffalo at the end of the month with No Warning and Haywire.
That band's insane.
Final Declaration. Yeah, Haywire at the Sick Band. Mm. Excited to play with them. And after that, yeah, we're going to go down to Philly the first weekend of June to do a show for Bob.
Yeah, Bob Wilson.
Yeah, Bob hooks it up. You know, I've known Bob for a long time. I would have probably met him. I think I first met Bob when he came up to, I'm not sure if it's when Mother of Mercy came through, if when, like, he might have come up here with the band Agitator when they came through.
Oh, shut up.
I know Mother of Mercy did a weekend up through here. Uh-huh. But, like, I had seen Letdown when they came up originally. Like, early, I think they maybe came up first in, like, 2006 or something. But yeah, so. I've known Bob for a really long time, so it's cool to have Bob putting this out and helping us out as much as he has.
Yeah, no, that's sick. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Bob. It's an honor to call him a friend. Like, I've been, a fan of his bands for a long time, but then finally able to like meet him and actually be friends with him and to know that he's like a legit dude. Super into hardcore. It's awesome.
I don't think I know anyone who's more into hardcore than Bob. And I mean that sincerely. Like, Bob is the real fucking deal when it comes to that shit, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts on the subject.
And I am curious, for Terminator to land with Rebirth. I think that's really awesome. Was that like your first choice just to go there? To like, hey, like, I know Bob. I want him to put this out.
Hell yeah. Like, clearly it's like, I made the demo and it's like, I just I knew Bob had the thing and it's like, yeah, that it didn't think specifically said send demos on the Rebirth page. Mm-hmm. So I just sent them up. I was like, yeah, here are some songs. Give them a listen. You listen to them and you said, this is sick. Let's put it out. Yeah.
And how long was that process, from you hitting up to it actually, coming out?
A couple of weeks, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, like we had the song done. They were pretty much like set to go at that point. Like they were just in the fucking getting mixed stage. So mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we're gonna have to make these into physical tapes at a point. Like, are we gonna do them ourselves? It's like, or would like it is also nice to be able to put out with, like, I guess you could say, a little bit of reach. Of having immediate exposure to a couple thousand people. Like, that also helps a lot, putting out a demo immediately that way versus just like posting on our own like social media and be like, all right, we got a new band, and like hoping our friends hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if you can remember, that it hasn't been that long, but from like the like local perspective, what the reaction was like for you guys? Was there a lot of buzz going around?
I mean, it's been good locally. A lot of people have come up and said, like, I like this. Like I said, we've only played one show here. We played one gig in Toronto, with Tomb Mold. So like, several people, a lot of people haven't seen us yet.
Mm.
I think once we start gigging around the area a little bit more, it's going to be, we'll start getting the exposure in that way. But I would hope that people have listened to it. Anyone who has listened to it and said, like, that was good. I'm glad they enjoyed it. It feels, nice to have ideas and record them and put them out and have it resonate with other people. So.
Yeah, when I read that it was like Think I Care inspired, I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting, because I'm a fan of that band, so I'm curious to see like what this band sounds like. And I remember listening to the demo and thinking, okay, this is sick. And I hit up Bob. I'm like, yo, like, who's in this band? And he actually told me that you know, he sent me your Instagram. You know, that's how we ended up here today. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm super stoked. Yeah. I definitely wanted to, you know, talk to anybody from the band. Cause yeah, like after I heard the demo, I was like, okay, this new band is fucking awesome. I want to, you know, tell everybody about them.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, it's very, very cool that you're having me on here to talk about it. And, you know, hopefully this is going to expose several more people to the live band. Hopefully me posting it on my end is going to expose several more people to your podcast. So, you know, yeah. It's nice, you know, having this type of community where people can get together and just talk shit about something we like doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no money involved, no, you know, bullshit like that. It's just, we're here just talking about fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
And it's cool to be able to do that.
No, yeah. And I appreciate it too, because for you, because, you know, before I reached out, you and I had, like, you know, no previous relationship. So the fact that you were down, you know, definitely meant a lot to me. And that's one thing that I truly appreciate about our scene is that, you know, the reach, you know, it's not that hard, right? I can send a message and it's not that strange, and it's not like that, like, you know, far out of the realm of possibility for things like this to go down. So,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's still relatively small music. You know, it's starting to get to a point where like certain things are getting quite big and it's like, oh, what the fuck's going on? You know, there's like hardcore cruise going on right now. That fucked me up. I was literally out with friends last night joking that like we're about to enter the era of like cruises for like hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, Comeback Kid, Sick of It All. I think These Nuts and then like some other European bands are on a cruise ship right at this moment. Like 10 minutes before getting on this podcast, I was looking at Instagram. I was like, oh, what the fuck? Comeback Kid is on a cruise right now. That's fucking me up.
Yeah, I'm always curious about how those things are because I've never been on one. Like, I wanted to go on one like years ago. It was like Paramore and Newfound Glory, but like timing for me just didn't work out because it like docked in like Florida, so I had to like I just couldn't get enough time off from work. So I was like, oh, like can't go.
I think I know someone who went on that cruise actually, but yeah. Being on the ocean listening to music sounds like nuts for me. Also, everything I've heard about cruises sounds like really unpleasant. I don't know, I just hear like horror stories about cruises and just like what being on a boat like that with all those other people is like. You know, and then one person gets sick, and now suddenly everyone's sick on the boat, everyone's got diarrhea type stuff.
Well, I think it would be weird, right? Because normally, right, hardcore show ends, we all go our separate ways, right? Maybe some friends, you know, go out to eat, whatever. But then, like, we don't see any of the other people. But the show ends, and then, like, oh crap, we're all on a boat for like the next like couple days. The show's gonna happen again. So
you're gonna get to know people a little bit better in that way. I would hope, you know, because you're getting to like, you know, that fest environment where you're suddenly seeing the several people. But it's like, you know, you're seeing the same people for like an entire weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be interesting. It's like, yeah, we're all at that same dining hall.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's not, because like, even after a hardcore show ends, yeah, it's like, yeah, you can spread off and kind of, yeah, some are going to the Del Taco, some are going, you know, to In-N-Out, whereas I guess that'd be your area. So I'm trying to be local for you. Friends, like, yeah, after, yeah, it's like, oh, Sick of All just finished. We're going to the mess hall together. All of us. We were just watching together. Now we're going to dine together.
Yeah.
Sounds like bliss. Maybe I'm changing my mind on this cruise thing. Well, sounds like blissful.
Yeah. I'm, you know, my parents go on cruises, but I'm just like, I don't know if I just want to be on a boat. Because I feel like, you know, like, it can't be that much fun for me. And plus, and another big drawback for me, which I don't really talk about too often, but I get like motion sickness. So like, I don't think I would do well.
I used to be able to do roller coasters and now I can't anymore. It breaks my fucking heart. I love roller coasters, but I just get so fucking sick.
Oh, wow. Like I can do roller coasters. I just like, yeah, because I went on like a whale watching trip in like elementary school and like I didn't watch any whales. I was just throwing up the whole time.
Oh damn!
Yeah,
that sounds really unpleasant. I'd mention just like the ocean's fucking so scary. It's literally the scariest thing on Earth, I think.
Yeah, well, apparently that's where all the aliens go is in the ocean.
Yeah, it's vast and fucking you know, that bottom is, there's a lot of, you could put a lot of shit in there.
Yeah. Isn't it? Allegedly, right? Like, we know more about space than like the ocean or some weird fact like that, which I'm just like, that's
yeah, really yeah, also just the fact that, you know, you're, if your boat hits something, then you're just like, and which, like, it can happen. It happens. then you're just like trapped out in the water and you're just like, oh, fuck. And then you're going to be eaten by like sharks, like on the Indianapolis. And yeah, it all sounds dreadful. If you have a crisis at sea, it just sounds like you're fucked.
Yeah. Like, worst case, you end up like, what was that Tom Hanks movie where he ends up on the island and he's like stranded?
Castaway.
Yeah, Castaway.
Yeah. Castaway with Wilson.
Yeah.
Taking out deep with fucking hockey skates, making sure that FedEx product placement makes it to the person at the end. Love it.
Yeah. And then you make it back alive and your family moved on.
I know. But like, understandably.
I mean, yeah, I know. But it's like, get me a gun. I'm killing everybody.
Yeah. I don't even recall exactly. I know he gets back and it's like, yeah, the family is. Found other people, but I don't know if they end up. I don't recall.
What do you do?
Like, having a relationship.
Yeah, it's like, do you have to break up and be like, wait, my first husband actually is not dead and has been alive this whole time?
Yeah, that'd suck for that person. But I mean, it depends on where your feelings lie. I guess everyone's feelings are different.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and how many people go on the cruise? Because I feel like that could just be also very exhausting. Because like, going to a hardcore fest, it's fun. It's fun up until I'm like on like day three, and I'm just like, wow, like this is really exhausting, and I can't wait to go home and be away from everybody.
Day three, like three hardcore fests are just way too nuts. I mean, like, you know, when this is hardcore first started happening, like we were going down to those like pretty frequently, and it's like standing for 3 days straight on just like a concrete floor. It's so bad. Yeah. It hurts. It's so draining. But I mean, you see a lot of sick bands, a lot of fun stuff happens. Fests are great for that.
Yeah, yeah. I can appreciate fests for obviously the amazing lineup, and I always appreciate the fact that I like when I go to fest, just there's always bands that I get to see that normally, you know, don't come out west, you know, because normally it's at a point where either it's like too early in their career, or maybe they just don't have any interest, or maybe they do and they just never get to that point where they can actually do it and have it make sense. So that's my favorite thing about going to fest, like outside of seeing friends, is getting to see bands that I normally wouldn't get to see back at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I feel like you probably get a lot more. Like, where are you specifically in California?
I'm in a city called Anaheim, or it's Orange County.
Yeah. So if you're in Anaheim, like, you're not, I mean, driving to a certain place, it's going to take you an hour to get to like a different part of the fucking LA or some shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, you're still going to see so many more bands than like, you know, we get up here. You know, California is a spot where people are like, we want to go there.
Yeah, for sure.
Canada's like, you know, when you suggest a band's like, oh, come to Canada, they're just like, we got to cross the border. And like, you know, it's like, do we have to get papers? You don't have to get papers. It's very easy for American bands to come up and play in Canada. Mm-hmm. Conversely, it's not easy at all for Canadian bands to go down there. Not easy. You got to fucking pay the American government a lot of money if you want to do it. It sucks.
Yeah, but there's that fest, Hold Your Ground. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, that's happened in Mississauga the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's cool watching that grow and seeing more American bands, you know, cross the border. Because I always you know, think that you know, the like neighboring scenes, right? Because you mentioned Buffalo, which I think Buffalo is awesome. I always, you know, feel like, you know, like those neighboring teams, you know, should have like that strong relationship with, you know, the scene on the other side, just to, you know, build those relationships and maybe even help spread the word. Cause, you know, there's a lot of bands that I feel like could get overlooked just because they're from Canada.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, right now, especially with this, I guess you can say fucking renaissance of hardcore that's kind of going on, like, you know, there's a whole new wave. I don't know if you've seen it where you are, because now you've been going to shows a long time, I'd have to assume. Like, what, like, when did you first get into it? How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, yeah, no problem. No, I got into shows. Like, my first show was in 2002. I was 14. And
we're in this exact same thing then. So it's like, yeah, 2002, I was like 14 years old. I actually, my very first show that I went to was in that building right there.
What the heck? That's insane.
Yeah. It was like, that was the first, it was Hope's Fall, Love Lost But Not Forgotten, Alexis on Fire, and Mary's Bleeding Eyes and Judy Obscure, I think it was.
Okay.
Because it's like, I had heard of Alexis on Fire, because Dallas, City in Color, or whatever, worked at the mall. So it's like, I was a little skateboarder, you know, at that time. And it's like, I was just figuring out like what punk, like what hardcore was, you know, I was starting to hear music with screaming and like, you know, getting on hxcmp3.com, stuff like that. And then I found out that Dallas, who was like this cool skateboarder that I know, he was like, you know, he's old at this point. It's like, I think Dallas must have been only like, you know, 24, 25, but I'm, you know, 13, 14. So he's old to me. And it's like, oh, this guy plays in a band? Wow. So it's like,
Yeah, that's wild. But no, yeah, there definitely is a renaissance, because the scene out here in Southern California, and you know, there's obviously different scenes. There's the LA scene, Orange County scene, the Inland Empire scene, the San Diego scene. But if you you take a step back, for the most part, we're all just like one big scene, because everybody, you know, cross pollinates. Everybody goes to each other's shows, and it's not that far. But when you look at the like newer wave of bands coming up, it's all younger kids, right? There's like this new band called like Dark Uniform, who I'm like pretty, you know, high on these days. Firestarters, like they've been around, but I feel like they're finally, you know, taking the next step to leveling up. They're you know, playing some awesome shows. They're about to go on tour.
I've heard that band, because I see them on flyers pretty frequently. They're always playing with, like, you know, Distort and Wise and groups like that. Like, I've played with and kind of know folks in the groups and stuff.
100%, yeah. And, you know, just like, you know, even out here in Orange County, there's a new band called they've been around for a bit. This band called Ruin. So it's definitely awesome to see this like new, like younger generation of kids like stepping up and putting in the effort to, you know, do their part and, you know, keep the scene going and, you know, putting out awesome music.
It is awesome to see. It's like, it's heartening to see, because it's like hardcore, especially like where we are, because like I said, we're a far smaller community, like especially like in Niagara specifically. Like, if you know, kind of cut off Toronto, because there is a bit of a cutoff there, in that like the bookers in Toronto typically, like if you're playing Toronto, they don't want you to play Niagara as well, because there goes, you know, a quarter of the crowd that would have come up from here. Oh, so. Wow. Yeah, a lot of it has historically been hard to get bands to come. And it's like, even when we could get them to come over the last, you know, two decades, the shows were often like, you know, kind of small, you know, in the early, in like up until about like 2009, 2010, I feel like there was the wave of people that we came in with. I feel like that's kind of when that whole wave of people died. And I feel like there wasn't really anything for a bit until now, this post COVID boom where everyone got locked inside and or turnstile, and just like everyone just got in the hardcore, and they all, you know, everyone's locked inside, all these young people, those videos of like Section 8 playing under the bridge
going viral. I was there. Yeah. That shit was crazy.
Like, I feel like shit like that was the major like catapult for this new youth invigoration, because it's like, I couldn't imagine being, you know, 14, 15 years old. You're suddenly just like locked in your house. You can't do anything but sit on the internet and like, you know, just look up stuff. And suddenly you come across this video on TikTok of, you know, groups like Tsunami, like having these insane like COVID shows where they're just, we're breaking the rules. Fuck it. We don't care. COVID, come fucking hit. And like, you know, did all this like crazy shit coming out of there. And like, I would imagine that would just make me want to do that shit right away. And then with, you know, Turnstile now just kind of blowing up in the way that they are, you know, that's been a whole other thing. And yeah, it's cool. This whole new wave that it's bringing in.
Yeah, no, it's definitely awesome to see, because there's definitely a lot of passion, which I definitely admire. So it makes me happy knowing that. I understand that, you know, the area that I live in, it's like, never really seen a drought, right? Just because there's just so many people here, right? There's so many people here. Yeah, it's a destination.
A lot of people. You've always had, you know, really good hit makers. Like, I mean, like, you got the Young Bros out there. Those are the hit makers.
Yeah.
Everything they've done is like good. So
yeah, it's like I feel like
they're constantly churning out bands, you know.
Yeah, I feel like they never miss, which is, you know, it's hard. So for them to have that kind of track record, and they even, you know, have done bands that they didn't even, you know, do full time that, you know, are really good. So yeah, tons of respect to them.
Yeah, they know how to write a fucking riff.
100%.
Say that.
But you know, obviously, like, you're in a band, but what do you feel like can be done to help, you know, stimulate the scene out there, to help, you know, try to, you know, draw more people in, whether it be, you know, newer, younger kids, or, you know, people who've probably been established but may have stepped away?
I mean, in terms of drawing more people in, that's almost like a marketing question. Like I said, it's like it's all individual. It's like there just happens to be more individuals who seem to be interested in it now. You know, I've always, you know, it's like my interest in this thing is just because, like, I like this music, so it's like I come around and I come back for it. And it's like, you know, now you have this whole new wave of people coming in, and they're going to decide within a couple of years whether they like this shit, they want to stay around, or, you know, whether, you know, they want to get into something else. Everyone, you know, everyone has that time in their life where something's going to take hold or, you know, go by the wayside. I don't think we have a problem bringing new people in at this point. Like, every show that I see now locally has more kids at it, like, and younger kids. Like, I'm starting to feel like old. I'm, you know, I'm 36 now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, there's kids who are at the show. It's like, they weren't even alive when I first moved. You know, it's like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you were born in 2007? Wow. Goddamn.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder, like, when I walk in a room, I'm like, am I that old guy that I used to look at when I was younger? Because there was this dude. And I'll
respect. We are. We are?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Especially where I live, like, especially in St. Catharines, Niagara, like, there's not a lot of people who have aged with it. Like, I'm the oldest person at the majority of the shows now. I've stayed interested in it. You know, we got one old head, Chris O'Toole. He's older than me, but like he comes out pretty frequently. But beyond that, it's like, we have me, we have a couple of guys who are around my age, you know, a couple of years younger. And then there's just like almost like a drop off. And now there's just like teenagers.
That's wild. No, but all respect to, because, you know, for as long as we've been around, like, you know, like a lot of, like, I'm sure you, like, I've seen so many people come and go. So, you know, I always, you know, respect those who have been able to, you know, stick it out and actually be real about it, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't fault anyone for going. If it's not your thing, go. Like, if this isn't what you like, please don't be here, I guess. You know? Because I find it's like typically the people who didn't actually like the shit were often the most of a problem at shows, if you know what I mean. You know, they weren't there for specific reasons. You know, there were those people who maybe wanted to come to, like, fight someone on the dance floor or some shit. So, yeah, it's like certain people stick around. And, like, I mean, you do got to be kind of nuts to like this type of music for this fucking long.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not like palatable music. Like, you know, it feels weird sometimes now being like 36 years old, being like, yeah, I play in a hardcore band. You know, when I meet like new people who are like this age, or just like who have never kind of touched that or seen that. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, what type of band you play in? It's like, yeah, I play in a hardcore band. They're like, oh, what?
Yeah, they say what? Yeah, it's always weird trying to explain.
It's like, are you a child? Especially because I think a lot of people have heard, like, a lot of people, you know, the idea of like what hardcore is to a lot of people, they just assume it's like screaming and fucking death and blood and shit, yeah. Which in some cases it is.
True, yeah.
But it's like, you know, telling the average person who, you know, casually knows what hardcore is, they just think you're a fucking moron.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's really scary. Like, you know, and it's like, fair. Like, I don't expect you to understand, like, what this is, you know, especially showing anybody any kind of mosh pit. Yeah, like, I get how it could look wild and super dangerous, but it's actually, like, way more contained than people actually understand.
Yeah. I mean, like, it definitely can get dangerous. Like, there's some shows where it's like, damn, this person's going on fucking like a mad person. But, yeah, you know, hardcore is a music that inherently is going to draw extreme personalities because it's extreme music.
True, 100%.
It's called hardcore for a reason. It's not called, you know, wimpy stuff.
Yeah, no, yeah, because it's real, right? Yeah, if you show up to a hardcore show, you know, there's going to be a certain level of intensity that you might not be familiar with if you're new, but it's something that, you know, I've been to all sorts of different types of shows like throughout, you know, my life, and I've never been to a show like that. It wasn't a hardcore show that had that same energy.
100%. It's, you get a very different thing at hardcore shows that you don't get somewhere else. They're like, yeah, just like it doesn't always feel safe. And I don't necessarily think that it should in a way. If like it should be safe in that, like you're not gonna go there and be like discriminated against or some shit.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like what people are coming to these things and like this type of stuff because it's like this is music that is literally designed to make people dance and like wing around and, you know, hit each other for whatever fucking reason. You know, people just started doing this shit and it just made sense. It's like, yeah, we got to get out here and just swing in arms. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, this feels good. This feels right. And, you know, to those who it stays feeling right too for a long time. You know, you gotta be
kind of
weird, but
yeah. And I feel like the best experience is just going out there. It's like, oh, like you're standing in the wrong place, you get hit. It's like, all right, cool. That's a really good lesson to learn, right? You got to be aware of your surroundings. Not everywhere is going to be safe in the pit. Even if, you know, it was safe at one show, the next show is going to be totally different because, you know, you don't know who's going to be there, what kind of style of mosh they're going to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I feel like as long as you're aware of your surroundings, like, yeah, you might, you know, catch a couple strays here and there, but you know, over time you'll learn to be able to avoid it because, you know, I've been in plenty of you know, pits and like I've gotten hit, but like I'm okay, like I'm not dead, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people have died. Like, I know someone just got paralyzed in Buffalo the other day by someone stage diving on them. That's the second time it's happened in Buffalo because there was in like early 2000s. During a terror show, someone stage dived and broke their spine.
Oh, wow.
At this place called the Mohawk Place in Buffalo. And then, yeah, this past week, I guess someone jumped off the stage and just landed on someone's head, fucked them up.
Okay.
So it's like shit. Like shit, fucking happens. It can. Like I've seen broken ankles. Like I've seen, you know, people like come out of the pit with their arm fucking hanging off. I will say shows generally feel safer now than they like used to when we first started going to shows.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, no.
They feel there's less like certain types of fuckery. I feel like, you know, a band that's like, our thing is we're just gonna shoot off fucking fireworks the whole time we're playing. Like that shit doesn't, I don't see that happening so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, when I first started going to shows around here, it's like that band Haymaker was from Hamilton, and I don't know if you are familiar with them at all, but like their shows were just fucking nuts with fireworks and mayhem and dudes just whipping chairs. Crazy, yeah. Crazy stuff at Haymaker shows. Yeah. Whereas like, I feel like I don't know a lot. I haven't heard of that type of shit really happening lately.
No. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, it definitely is a lot safer now. Cause I remember, yeah, like my early days, you know, you looked at somebody wrong or you accidentally bumped into somebody wrong, you're getting beat up and, you know, people were...
That happened a lot more pre-internet.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, people didn't feel as accountable for things because you could just slug someone out of show and no one's going to know about it unless they went on like V9 and said something. Mm-hmm. And even if it went on B9, someone would be like, ah, you know, like B9 yeah. was just like,
that place was ruthless.
Yeah. Like hardcore has changed a lot. I think for the better in a lot of ways, you know, there's, you know, you shouldn't go with two shows with the expectation of like, someone might just like punch me because they don't fucking like the way I look type of shit.
Yeah. I remember some guy stage dove and like, I caught his brass knuckles and I was just like, oh, I was like, you dropped these, but I could never find the guy. So I was like, all right, I guess I got a new pair of brass knuckles. That was a thing in like the early 2000s. But these days I don't really know too many people carrying around brass knuckles.
No, I don't know anyone, but in the early 2000s, I knew a dozen people had brass knuckles. I don't know, I ran out of brass knuckle belt. Some of them will like to like detach, like, yeah, people carrying that shit around. It's like, you hit someone with that, you're going to get a fucking felony charge.
Yeah, there's like some real life consequences. And it's funny too, because like, yeah, I was like, when I was like way younger, I didn't even think about that kind of stuff. But yeah, now that I'm an adult, I'm just like, yeah, I can't just go around like hitting people. Like I punched a guy at a show a couple months ago. I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly, but I punched a guy at the show. The guy left the show, called his mom, called his mom, and then the next day the mom shows up to where the show happened at and wanted to sue me. So the owner of the shop was like, all right, cool, like, because I know the owner called me. He's like, hey, this lady wants to see you because you punched her son. I was like, fair play. I was like, give her all my information, I got my lawyer, I'm ready to go, so like we can go to court. She wants to go to court, and he gave her all my information. But then she was like, wait, never mind, I don't want to sue that guy, I want to sue the business. So she tried going after the business. But then eventually she realized that she couldn't win, and then she just kind of got over it. And that was all because I just punched this guy. And like, you know, I accepted the...
Were you dancing or like this person, you're like, yo, fuck.
No. This guy was like, like being like a bully. He like, you know, he had already smashed like a couple people's like glasses off their face. And then he started, trying to, bully like one of my like local like friends. So I was like, I'm not going to stand for this. And there were like...
So you're doing crowd control.
Yeah, crowd control, because you know they didn't want to, like, I don't think they were ready to go. I don't think they were ready to fight this guy. So for me, I didn't care. I wasn't afraid of this guy. So I just walked up to him and punched him in the face. And then he ran out and, like I said, called his mom. And like I was, you know, obviously like I was ready to suffer the consequences, whatever they may be. That's why, like I said, like I was willing to give my information because she wanted to sue me. Like, let's go. Like it's totally fine. I would have had to deal with whatever happened, but I wasn't like afraid. But it's just like, yeah, now it's just like, man, I can't just go around doing that these days, because there's like, now that, like I said, like I'm an adult and I have to, like, you know, handle it, like whatever happens.
There's video cameras everywhere, everyone's filming everything.
Yeah, and I wanted the footage. Like, I wanted the footage.
Fights happened at shows. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Fights happened at shows, but it's like, they're filming. So it's like, you know, it's typically kind of no harm, no value. Someone gets a fight now and everyone's suddenly filming it.
Yeah. No, I wanted the footage, but the owner didn't want to give it to me.
Well, it happens.
Yeah.
I hope they don't just decide to sue you. Like, that's the one thing that's nuts in the States, is like, you can just do that. You can sue people over like a lot of seemingly frivolous shit, and you can sue for like a lot of money. You can't do that in Canada. It's like, our system's not set up in that way. Mm-hmm. You could sue. It's like, if I got run over, like I could like sue someone type of thing, but it's like, you're not getting these like fucking $5 million settlement type shit. It's like, you know, you're gonna just get your lost wages type of thing.
Yeah, it's no, it's
a little reasonable up here.
Yeah, it can get a little squirrely down here. So it's just like, yeah, like after that, and then also too, it was just like a really it was a really interesting situation, because like after like I punched the guy, everybody acted like I was like the bully. I was like, whatever, you guys are all pussies.
There.
Yeah, because I was just trying to like defend it, because like, dude, like it's a room full of people and there's like one asshole and everybody was like scared to do something. So I was just like, all right, I was like, I get it. A lot of these people probably never been in confrontation, never been in a fight. I was like, let me just punch this guy and see what happens. And yeah, I punched him and he ran.
A lot of people at that show, it may have been their like one of the first kind of shows they've gone to.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because of this new youth movement coming in, it's like a lot of people just haven't kind of seen that stuff happen yet, you know? And then they happen and they're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's honestly, why, you know, that's why you suddenly have this kid like suing you type of thing. Cause he's like, you know, he sees the videos of guys who are, you know, going around the pit fucking smashing people. And he's like, you see videos of that and it's cool, but you know, they don't realize that, you know, sometimes you're going to get punched in the face for doing that by someone who thinks like, stop fucking doing that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, you know, like I can deal with like, you know, people crowd killing, whatever, if I'm standing there, but this guy was like, you know, going out of his way, trying to like, you know, when he broke those people's glasses, I felt bad for those people, but I didn't know them. I didn't really care. But when he started messing with my like younger friend who, you know, isn't really built like that, I kind of took, you know, took some offense to that.
Yeah, there's a very different thing. It's like I don't like the quote crowd killing. It's like there's very different thing from like incidental, like someone's just going back and forth, like fucking swinging. They're coming out with momentum. Yeah. They hit someone on the side. That shit happens. But it's like there is the people who are just like, I'm standing right at the back. The pit part comes and the first move I do is this, to just punch someone in the like lip. It's like, come on, get in the fucking dance, like get on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Because the people, that's why this kid's fucking calling his parents on you. Because it's the softest people who want to show that they're fucking super hard by just walling around the pit. It's like, get in the middle, fucking risk a spin kick to the fucking head. Get out on the fucking dance floor and see if you're actually a good dancer or not.
Yeah.
People also craft kill, they just can't dance.
True.
They can't put. It's like, if you can't dance, fuck off. Just watch the band.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if you're not ready to deal with the consequences. Because if I punch somebody in the face, like while I'm moshing, I'm not going to be surprised or upset if they try to like, you know, hit me back. Like, you know, obviously all situations are different.
100%. It's high intensity. It's high adrenaline. Everyone's out there. Like the act of moshing, your heart rate's fucking going. Like, you know, you're fucking in there. Shit gets quick, really fast. You know, you pop someone in the lip. Suddenly you turn around. You got a guy coming at you like this. You're like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
Yeah. Crazy times, but. Crowd killing, moshing, yeah. And for me, it's all good fun. Like I'm older now too, where I don't do it as much because I feel like I have a lot more to lose today versus when I was like a younger kid with no responsibilities.
It takes, you know, I'm not gonna get in the pit as much as that, especially with the crowd being a little bit younger. It's like I don't really want to just like, it's sort of like, yeah, man, you just deck like some 14-year-old in the face. But it's like, you know, certain bands, it's like, you know, friends bands, certain parts, like, yeah, I gotta fucking, this part goes, like, you know, I'll still get on the dance floor
for sure. 100%. Okay, well, I am curious too, where are you? Because the setting I think is awesome. I'm assuming you're on some sort of roof.
I'm on my roof.
Okay. So that random venue is just happening to be right behind you.
Yeah, that was the Niagara Artist Center, which is now over on the next, you know, it's the next building behind me. They used to be located in that building, and that's where the show was, but now it's owned by a bicycle shop.
Okay.
They stopped doing shows there in 2003. Because a band called the Legendary Clopex came through, who are a local band to hear, and they broke a bunch of shit. Because this was at the time where bands could just fucking roll up, fucking, we're going to set off all the fire extinguishers, we're going to smash all the chairs, and you know, they had shows like that. They were awful fucking band. The singer was like, definitely not a hardcore, it was like a, I don't even know, it was like a punk band or a metal band, like, it was just like a fuckery band.
Okay.
You know? And yeah, I know that they fucked that place up, and then the owner was like, yeah, I want to do this no more. But now they started doing shows at the Knack kind of more recently lately, and it's actually a great spot for shows. They got a nice little stage and good sized room, so shows been going down there lately. It's been nice. Okay. Especially just being able to walk out my door and around the corner.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. Yeah, if I don't have to get in the car to go to a show, that'd be a dream.
Yeah, it's nice having that again, because for a long time we had nowhere to do shows. You know, we were doing shows at our jam space in Welland, or a while. But like after, you know, things kind of fizzled out. Like there's not a lot of venues around here that are really going to book it. Like we have one venue in town that could like host hardcore groups, like size wise, but they want a prohibitive amount of money to like book the spot. It's like, yeah, you want this place for a night on a Saturday, $400. It's like, that's too much money for like what's going to actually come out. Thankfully, we've got this new Legion Hall that's popping off. So we got a Legion Hall that's doing shows here now. You know, we got a couple of younger people who are now booking shows and trying to actively bring more bands in. Because for a long time, it was just myself and, you know, a couple of my friends who were booking all the shows in the area. You know, anytime that we maybe knew someone in a band that was kind of coming near Buffalo, like, yo, come up, do a show here. Like, we convinced Yuri to come here once.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But it's like largely for the most part, it has been a challenge to like get bands to come up. But I think with hardcore kind of having this renaissance, because in the early 2000s, a lot more bands were coming through, you know, when hardcore was first kind of popping off. And then there was the dead years of the last decade. Now starting to grow again here. So hoping for more bands. If you're in a band and you're watching this and you made it this far and you want to come up to Canada, hit me up. You don't need papers. You just need a passport to get across the border.
All right. That's awesome. No, I'll definitely, you know, mention that in the intro, because I think more bands, you know, should go to Canada, whether it's like, you know, the eastern part or the western part. So I feel like both sides have, you know, awesome bands. And I really appreciate what Terminator is doing, right? New band, which is cool, because you know, you could have easily just not done another band, but for you to want to, you know, have that passion and start something new with your friends, I think it's really cool. And for the music to be awesome, you know, I feel like it's another win for you guys up there. And hopefully, you know, Terminator can be a reason for bands to want to go up there and, you know, play with you guys in your area.
I would love that. You know, if anyone's heard the demo and they want to play with us, hit us up. We're, you know, we're trying to gig. I want a gig. So that'd be nice.
All right. Well, last thing before we go, I'm just really curious about your glasses. Because they just look really awesome. And I'm just curious about the little clear parts on the side right here.
Yeah, so these were originally safety glasses. Like, these are like safety glasses from the 60s. And recently, I had to get glasses. And I had these around. And I just got lenses put into these because I thought they were cool. I also got really sensitive eyes when the wind blew into my... Like, now that I don't wear glasses, my eyes are fucking not just... wet, fucking dripping all the time. Mm-hmm. I got really bad like wind sensitivity, so having these little things on the fucking sides, I don't get the wind in my eyes anymore.
Wow, so those are like real vintage.
Yeah, these would definitely be older stuff.
That's crazy. That's cool though. I'm actually really happy that I asked, because like I said, yeah, I you know, I think they look cool. So I was just very curious about them.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm glad you like them.
For sure. And before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
Check out BFD. Check out Reality Denied. Yeah.
All right.
Two bands from here. Okay. That I think rock.
Well, I truly appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and we'll be back soon. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah, we got.